Amen. I invite us to stay standing for just a moment, and we're going to keep moving in worship. We're going to move into a call to worship together with one voice, but I do want to pause. Our morning is not going as we had imagined. Pastor Linda has just been dealing with some health complications the last couple days, and so she is staying home to care for her body, and we are gathering here. She is in good care, is what you should know, and she's finding her way. But I'm grateful to have Sandra Lomason, who is with us as a spiritual director and leader in our community, and also Ansel Lundberg, to help us as we move into this beautiful celebration of God's love for all of creation, as we baptize today Wallace James, and as we invite all of us together to remember God's love and God's movement in our hearts and lives and in the world. So let us move now, continuing to come to the waters and sharing with one voice this call to worship. Let us pray. Today we come to the waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence and to make new commitments on this very day. To Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new. Amen.
I wanna dunk down, down into the river, dunk down all the way down there. Dunk down, down into the river, gonna let it go all the way down. Say, oh Lord, here I go, let it go. Oh Lord, here I go, let it go. Oh Lord, here I go, let it go, let it go.
To be seated, and we're going to move into prayer together. This comes to us from Chloe McKellier, and it is titled Baptism.
Is this how it will go down? We neglect, but then we grow, and the birds swarm full. Sunflower heads bow on low, tiny lives reaching high. Possibility making real, rising right, was it worth it? The stooping. Cold mornings, early times, listening to your story, ears bent towards the weeds, how you found the weeds to be your medicine when battling mental dis-ease, and then there's the teen who felt freedom in a circle. To say out loud their pronouns and see hearts bloom unfurl, could destruction parade as progress? Buildings, puncturing fabric, campaigning, we're crusading, caught up in our own havoc. What if you're plucking turnips from your bosom, calling us to dig in, to run to the soup pot, and in it smoke right visions, sweet nothings making something, water salted, despair halted, love resulted, simmer low now, child, soup takes time.
As Sarneet steps forward to share our welcome and next steps, I do want to make just a quick note for parents. We are going to have children stay in worship for this celebration of baptism today. So in the back of the sanctuary, you'll find some coloring books if those are helpful. And then you can also know that childcare, loving childcare, is just across the courtyard in the A-frame. So please take use those as you need them.
Good morning. We are thrilled to celebrate baptism renewal. Our baptism converts and share deep commitment this morning at the table. Welcome, my name is Sarneet Prasad and I'm the Sunday morning coordinator for our community. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code in the sanctuary and a link will be shared for those online. For those of us gathering online at the table.live, Chloe's with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have any questions or need assistance. If you'd like to learn more about our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series we call Growing in Faith to help newcomers learn more about how we practice our faith here at the table. A Growing in Faith series will begin this Tuesday and registration is full. Our pastors will offer Growing in Faith in a retreat format on December 9th and 10th, and a few opening remains. This retreat will be a great way to connect with others and learn more about how our community of faith works. Please learn more and sign up on our website, thetableumc.org. We will continue to move in worship now by preparing our hearts, minds, bodies, and soul to come to the waters of new life.
This is the water on which God breathed and the Spirit brooded when God began creating us. All creeping things, all races, male and female.
This is the water that drove up the trunk of the tree whose branches that bore the fruit that we were not to taste.
This water covered the earth deeper than the Himalayas when God wanted to start over. This is the foot of the rainbow that meant to tell us God won't destroy the creation again.
This is the water of the river Jabbok, where Jacob still wrestles with God. This is the well where Joseph was left for dead by his jealous brothers.
This is the water that opened at Moses' command when God led God's people out of slavery. This is the water by which Miriam and the women danced the rhythms of liberation.
This water sprung from rocks in the desert when the people started whining to go back to the way things used to be.
And these are the salty tears that King David shed when Nathan accused him of the worst of sins. And these are the tears that he shed when he pleaded to God for forgiveness and received it.
These are the waters of Babylon, by which our ancestors sat down and wept, their harps and tongues silent for homesickness.
And this is the water that broke in a barn in Bethlehem.
It was out of these waters that John pulled a stunned Jesus in the River Jordan. that day when they saw a dove and heard from the depth within, you are my beloved. In you, my heart sings for joy.
This is where those men heaved and hauled nets until love came to town and called them to even harder work for even less pay.
This is the water that became wine at a wedding at Cana.
Peter sauntered on this water and then sank and then was rescued, setting the pattern of a disciple's life.
This is the well in Samaria where Jesus chatted, unchaperoned, with a so-called disreputable woman. This is the living water that quenched her thirst forever and restored her to dignity.
This is the spittle that came from his mouth when he restored hearing to those who could not hear, when he restored sight to those who could not see.
This is the very water he used to cut the wine at what would become a last meal.
And these are the tears that fell that last night in the garden.
This is the sink that Pilate used to wash his hands when he passed the death sentence.
These are the wet faces of the women whose grief at the cross could not be quenched.
This is what Jesus thirsted for at the hour of his death.
This is the tomb from which Christ blasted. This is the opening. This is the way.
This is the water that binds us to God when shame and sin and death threaten to destroy. This is the water that reminds us who we are and whose we are.
We encourage those of you who are here in the sanctuary and those with us online to follow along with your own Bibles or on the screen as I share Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 1 to 4 and then chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack. And justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablet so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faith. Amen.
Just sit and wait for all your goodness. Hope to feel your breath.
Amen. I invite us to be seated. We're going to come back to that one, Sandra. We're going to come back. Okay. Oh, I want to invite us, as our musicians move down, to just be in a spirit of prayer. God, indeed, we could just sit, but you call us into a deeper expression of faith, into a deeper commitment both to loving you and to loving our neighbors. And so we offer this moment in our lives. May your spirit align us with the depth of your hope for the world now and always. Amen. Pastor Linda's sermon for this morning starts like this. Have you ever looked around at the state of things and thought something like, God, you really need to fix this mess? If only she knew how true that would feel when she wrote those words back on Wednesday. Come on, God. This would be the moment. I'm actually not kidding. And it's in that personal space that you've been there too. You woke up thinking that your life was going to be about this today. Nope. Because life happens. Whether we want it or like it or feel ready for it. But it's not just those individual pain points. It's a broken world. Like, you can't even turn on a podcast or open the New York Times. Like, over 150 young human beings were crushed to death. Like, it's literally unthinkable, the pain that overwhelms our world. And maybe you've been in that place where you're crying out to God, and maybe it's about something in your own family or your own life or your own body, or maybe it's about just seeing people that you would never encounter, but the world in which we live now connects us in ways that if we open up to actually loving our neighbors, there's just so much, so, so much. I wonder what some of those moments might be in your own life where you were feeling that, whether it's internal or at the world around you, and God showed up for you. God showed up. I know some of us have those moments. We think of them as hinge moments, like our life was moving in this direction and a hinge happens. Like, I'm looking at people right now, like 12 years ago, we were gathering here for the very first time as the table at Central UMC, and our then baby was being held by a grandparent, just as well. Wallace James isn't being held by a grandparent, but Wallace James is being held by a dear friend of a family. I'm seeing folks that have come to these waters to either make that commitment or to renew that commitment. And for some of us, baptism is part of that. It ties into it. For others of us, this has happened outside. Linda herself grew up in a family in which she always experienced and was reminded of God's love for her by a mother and a father who were part of the church community, her own dad who was a pastor and a bishop, her mom who devoted her life to watching over others in love through the church's witness and ministry. Linda, though, shares a story about her own experience of a hinge moment. And I want to tell it to you a little bit today. It was a moment in which she was feeling a devastation and pain. And all she could hold on to was grief. Linda's an Enneagram 4, so she feels that stuff really deeply. Some of you that know her know that well. For Linda, this was her second miscarriage. So she was back in her 30s. She was in an elevator. She had actually just visited the doctor, this doctor that she had loved, who was caring for her, helping her and Mark try to find ways to move toward pregnancy. And the doctor that she had loved gave her, as doctors, so many in the room, have to do at times, that impossible news, that grief, that sad, terrifying news that no parent ever wants to hear. This second pregnancy for Linda like the first was not going to go to term. And then they were going through the details of scheduling the DNC for the next day. And all of that kind of blurs together for her because she knows that she got on the elevator and was feeling her feelings, convincing herself that this is common. So many women experience this. But it was her experience of it. The depth of devastation, of anger, of feelings of abandonment and being alone. She was in the elevator and she heard that ding at the door. You know the sound. A person steps in, and all of a sudden, she's not really alone, but it's just another person. And the elevator doors close, and she looks, and the person starts to look to her like her youth pastor from back when she was a teenager in Berkeley. Couldn't have been him. Tears were in her eyes. She couldn't really see who it was. That youth pastor had accompanied her when she was 16 to Planned Parenthood. He was the only person, only adult in her life, the only adult in her life who knew that she had had that experience at 16. And then she heard Linda, and she said, "Frank." It wasn't what she had expected, but that youth pastor was standing right there with her again in that moment. It didn't make things suddenly feel okay. It didn't take away what was happening. But her sense is that this was a moment in which God showed up as an elevator just rang and a person walked on. We heard Sandra share from the New Revised Standard Version of Habakkuk this morning. Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, who is a biblical scholar that we turn to often as we try to make sense of these ancient texts in the Hebrew Bible, she translates the first verses a little bit differently than the New Revised Standard Version. Dr. Gaffney translates it this way: "How long, Holy One, shall I howl for help and you will not hear? Cry to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and inequity and compel me to look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Litigation and contention arise. So the Torah becomes weak and justice never emerges. The wicked surround the righteous. That is why judgment comes out perverted." Dr. Gaffney continues, "Like Habakkuk and Job, I cry out to God about God, that I am not alone in this as is scant comfort. That God hears in spite of all evidence to the contrary is some comfort, comfort which I grasp like a drowning woman, clinging to the broken pieces of what used to be a world that made sense." Violence among God's people goes back to the beginning of the beginning, as it's recorded in Scripture. Cain murdering his brother Abel, that far back. And biblical scholars agree that Habakkuk saw everything around him, and they imagine that this is actually rooted in an invasion of the people of Babylon. So that's what's happening. That's the despair that they are looking into, the crisis. But there's no actual time stamp on this book. So it's a lot of conjecture about what the crisis would have been going on in that day. But it's not really even clear to me that we need the specifics of that ancient day, because we have plenty of evidence all around us that connects us to those feelings of despair and grief. It's another pandemic, a pandemic upon pandemic. And so we don't know about any of these specific moments, but it feels to me as though Dr. Gaffney can help us again in fleshing out some of the important markers that might connect us back to this ancient moment in time. Habakkuk's cry reveals the expectations that he has about God, writes Dr. Gaffney. He believes in a God who is, or is supposed to be, responsive. He expects God to do something about the state of the world, and he expects God to respond to his cries. He cannot fathom what is taking God so long to act, but he is sure that a response is coming. He's also certain, it seems, that what he's witnessing is inconsistent with the Torah, which for him is the embodiment of God in the world. God's revelation to God's people is laying in ruins, and this prophet is looking upon the devastation and saying, how is this possible? When is God going to remedy this? They say there were like 580 people who went to see those young people that died in Korea, that they were just trying to understand who was who and the names, the devastation that people are feeling, the parents waking up at this moment. And reading through this little book, it feels like reading through the chaos of our own world in the New York Times. It's a wreck. Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble, says the prophet? I don't actually want to look upon what happened there. I don't want to look upon what happens on our own borders or just down the street, just outside our own doors. One of our kitchen tables was going to meet, it was just last week. They were going to meet over there at the corner around 39th and LM. They weren't able to enter the neighborhood, though, because a person took another person's life. Habakkuk speaks, and God listens in this story, and God responds. And in the verses in between that we read today, there's some things that happen that may help us along the way. God basically tells Habakkuk, you're seeing what I also see. There is no escape for me either. I have already begun to respond, but it is a response that is beyond your comprehension. Habakkuk 1:5 says, be astonished. Be astounded, for a work is being done in your days that you will not believe if you were told. Dr. Gaffney, again, we're not alone in the horror engulfing the world. God is active in the midst of the world's fracture. God is here with us. God is here for us. And according to God, in Habakkuk 2,000 years ago, and an unknown number of centuries ago, the healing has begun, but we can't see it yet. Not even with our prophetic vision. It is beyond us, but is here. And so I'm left feeling this morning that I have to give it to Habakkuk, as faithful as he is in the moment of looking upon all of that, as wise as he feels. That kind of faith is often elusive for me. Habakkuk says, I'll stand at my watchpost, station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what God will say to me and what God will answer concerning my complaint. Here's the Pastor Linda translation. Ready? Okay, God. Okay. I trust you. I'm going to just climb right up here on whatever the heck a rampart is, and I am going to watch and trust and verify that you are really going to show up. I'm just going to wait here, trusting and verifying that you are going to show up. That's never an easy thing to do. So often we cry out, how long do I have to stay in this place of hurt? God assures Habakkuk and all of us that God will bring healing, but God plays the long game. Both traditional Jewish and Christian interpretations of this text see in these words a prophecy of the Messiah, and understand as well that this particular prophet will not live to see the change that they hope for. Back in that day, those who saw the Messiah, love showing up, as Ansel beautifully named for us in our liturgy over the water, they started to recognize a restoration and a healing, but it was three steps forward, two steps back. It was slowly. God's restoration was far from complete for them, and we, like Habakkuk, may not live to see the completion, the transformation, the world made new. But we ache for it. I've been holding as I look for images of what that waiting or looking out might be for us. And I was drawn to Reverend Dr. King and the waiting images that people experienced, some in this room who were alive in the 60s. Consider those images of Dr. King waiting at the buses. Lunch counters, waiting at voting booths, waiting in jails. Faithful, righteous people waiting, in the world waiting with them. So often the world trying to prevent the hope that God was bringing in. Some in this room waited with them. Generations later, all of us are still waiting today. For Dr. King knew that the arc of the moral universe, he says, is long, but bends toward justice. And often when people outside of Christian community heard Dr. King's words, they would put it in a context and think that clearly this is not a politically astute person. He was not understanding that the world wasn't bending toward justice. But Dr. King had a bigger vision of the world, a vision wrapped up in God's vision, like that prophet long ago who looked on at despair and heard a God who is showing up amid the waiting. One scholar describes it this way: the waiting of direct resistance was born out of the waiting called for by a God who is God. Dr. King's dream is a waiting that confesses that because God is God, the world will turn and justice will come. The God of life, the God who gives the gift of the seventh day, will meet the world in its waiting. And so, like that prophet long ago, our task may be not to turn away from the brokenness around us or within us, but to wonder, like those who've gone before us, what will the shape of our waiting look like? What will the shape of our waiting look like? How will we try to do no harm and do all the good that we can en route to loving our neighbors? How will we shape our lives so that we feel God's love moving in the world? Today we pause to celebrate the church's commitment around baptism. This is a ritual celebration shared in community, celebrating God's love for a child and for each and every part of God's creation. There'll be an opportunity for all of us in just a moment to move to stations where this same water will be carried and to remember God's love for us and God's love for the world. We talk about this as a community of faith, and we have for a number of years now as our deep commitments. Habakkuk goes on to say, write it plain on a tablet. This is our version of trying to write plain, how are we going to show up to God in the world by waiting together? How will we root our lives in grace? In that earth-shattering reality that God loves you and the world just as you are, and there is nothing that you can do about it. How will we show up and wait as we grow in faith? That sense that God longs for you to continue to trust deeper in God's love for the world than you are right now. How will you reach in love and give generously, actually trying to align your life in the waiting with God's love, which is already on the loose in the world? Baptism in our Christian tradition tends to often get collapsed down into like a single moment. But the truth of baptism is that this is God's call on our lives for our lives. As we wait in this moment and then throughout our lives for God to continue showing up, being God when we least expect and in the places that feel the most despair. For Linda and for her husband Mark, there would be many more miscarriages ahead. And they are celebrating 3 children and then being grandparents now. Didn't look at all like what they imagined. It didn't take away the hurt that they felt. But she never really saw Frank like that again. God showing up as an elevator opened. And every time that she has an appointment like that, a scary kind, it usually does involve an elevator, and it means going back to that moment, remembering God showing up in the midst of the grief and the hurt that the world knows. And in that, she knows, and my hope is that you might know this day, that God is with you, because there was that one time, and then so many of us have had those one times. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Matt's translation might say, the righteous live by the faith of God. Amen. I want to invite Jake and Brittany to come forward with baby Wallace James. Friends, we are reminded this day that baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and experienced love, love made known and embodied in Jesus, that we celebrate God's faithfulness and the new creation that God promises to all of us. So this day, this beautiful family comes to the waters of the sacrament of baptism to mark their child as a beloved child of God. And so I invite us together to move into historic questions that the church invites each person to respond to as they come to these waters. So some of us experience this as children ourselves, and you may have those memories. Some of us are seated next to children that we have accompanied in these ways. And some of us came to these waters as adults or as teenagers, and some of us have yet. We're still wondering about what any of this might mean for us. But today we ask questions, the questions that are historically come to us from the Christian tradition and from the church, and we'll share them both in that ancient language and then also in the ways that we try to hold it together here at the table. So on behalf of the church, on behalf of all of us gathered here in the church universal, we ask you all, on behalf of Wallace James, do you promise to do all in your power through God's grace to love your neighbor, refraining from doing harm in all the ways that you can, renouncing, as we say, the spiritual forces of wickedness, rejecting the evil powers of this world and repenting of sin? If so, please say, I do. Do you promise to do all in your power through God's grace to love your neighbor by doing all the good that you can, accepting the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present? If so, please say, I do. And do you, as Christ's body, the church, promise to stay in love with God and to celebrate God's love for you and for Wallace James and for the whole world, confessing Jesus Christ as Savior and placing our hope in him, putting our trust in God's grace, and promise to serve God as the church, the ecclesia, those called out to be in the world, a church which Christ opens to people, and all means all? If so, say, I do. Beautiful. And do you promise to nurture Wallace James in Christ's church, that by your teaching and your example, you may be guided, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and profess his faith openly and lead a Christian life by rooting his life in grace and growing in faith and reaching in love and giving generously? If so, please say, I will. And to all of us, I want to acknowledge that some of us might be here for the very first time and we aren't even sure what's been going on or what this water might mean, and that is okay. It's a beautiful gift, actually. And some of us call this our church home, want to make a deeper commitment to love God and love our neighbors through this community. And so, and some of us are in town visiting from away, and many of us are gathered online. So to those that long to support this family as part of this community and those who watch over them in love, I want to speak to you now. Will you promise to do all in your powers? Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this family now before you in your care? So with one voice, let us pray together for those who feel led. Do you see that one, Corey? With one voice, let us pray together. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live accordingly to the example of Christ. We together will surround this family with a community of love and forgiveness that may grow together in our trust for God, our hope being that we are found faithful in service to God and to others. And so we pray for you as you accompany and support Wallace James in the life that is ahead. Amen. Encourage those gathering online to find either water or candles in whatever way you might find them. And for those here in the sanctuary, I invite you to stand as you are willing and able, and we will continue to move together in a spirit of prayer in a call and response, we will share one, and we invite you to join our voices together as all. The Spirit of the Lord is with us.
Even so,
come, Lord Jesus.
Almighty God, the life you birthed in us by baptism into Jesus Christ will never die. Your justice never fails. Your mercy is everlasting.
Your healing river flows. Your Spirit blows where you will. We cannot stop you, God.
But sometimes we try.
We try to block the flow. We redirect the winds of the Spirit. Or we walk so far away from the life-giving stream that we do not perceive it, and we forget its power. We parch ourselves.
We are dry and thirsty, O God. Come, refresh us.
Come upon us, Holy Spirit.
Come upon us, Holy Spirit.
Come upon these waters.
Come upon these waters. Let these waters be to us drops of your mercy.
Let these waters remind us of your righteousness and justice.
Let these waters renew in us the resurrection power of Jesus.
Let these waters make us long for your coming rain.
Most holy God,
glory to you.
Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord.
Glory to you.
Spirit of fire, Spirit of the waters, Spirit of holiness.
Glory to you. Eternal God, one in three and three in one,
all glory is yours,
now and forever.
Amen.
I invite us to be seated, and for the family and those accompanying them to move here toward the waters. We'll come all the way over Jake and Brittany. Beautiful. And as we share together, some of us come from traditions where laying on of hands is the way that we have shown up in community, and for others, it is something that might be new to us. But as we pray for Wallace James, I would invite you, as he's baptized and as we pray, to just hold your hand up as a sign, as an expression of your hope and God's love moving in their life. So, Brittany and Jake, what name is given to this beautiful child of God? Beautiful. So, Wallace James, I baptize you in the name of God, our Creator, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Wallace James, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born from water and spirit, you may be a faithful, beloved child of God. Amen. Amen.
It is our joy to welcome Wallace James as a sibling in Christ. We commend him and his family to your love and care. May we do all in our power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And if you would join in the community response.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you,
and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ,
and in this community of the United Methodist Church,
we renew our covenant to faithfully participate in the ministries of the Church
by our prayers,
our presence,
our gifts,
our service,
and our witness,
that in everything God may be glorified.
Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as we have in responding together to God's love for each person and for all of creation, we're going to take time now to come to those waters as a community as you feel led. And so the way we're going to do that is we'll have some stations. So Sandra will be here in the front of the sanctuary, and I will be back there with another baptismal font. Actually, one of the first people who was baptized here at the table about 12 years ago, he built that baptismal font by reclaiming a beautiful baptismal font that had been here for many, many years. He restored that, and it is in the back. So here in the front, we will have a station. In the back, we will have a station. In a moment, Sarneet and Pearl and Mike are going to move some of the water that is here in our baptismal font around to places in the back of the sanctuary and on the side. Our musicians are going to move into some music that'll just help us center in God's love. And here is our invitation. For you, as we look upon this beautiful baby who's part of this celebration this morning, to remember your own baptism, to hold the depth of God's love for you, and then to listen for what God might be inviting you to write plain in terms of how the shape of your waiting will take. For those of us that long to be part of this community of faith, we hope that you'll take time this morning. We've already have had, I think, 34 families that have shared deep commitments. We hope those others might feel led to do the same, and you can do that online. So the invitation is to stay right where you are and to be in a spirit of prayer, to move here or to the back of the sanctuary. For those gathering online, to take or just to move to the other spaces where there will be water, to take the water, and to remember that I'm a beloved child of God. God's love will not let me go. To remember that baptism and to be grateful. And so our invitation is to move as we feel led around the sanctuary in this moment. So Sarneet and Pearl and Mike will help us. And as the musicians start to play, I encourage you to either make your way here where Sandra will share that blessing with you, to make your way to the back where I will share that blessing, or for those online or who prefer to have just some quiet space on your own, there will be stations with water throughout the sanctuary. So we move now into a time of remembering our baptism, sharing our deep commitments, and celebrating God's movement in this community.
Take me to the water.
Loving God, for the gift of your love and grace for the whole world, your love which never lets us go. May we place our trust and our hope in your creative ways and in your many names. We offer this day and our lives for you. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. Our musicians are going to send us out with an original piece of music by some of our musicians that formed a band called Solabel, and some of us got to hear them a few nights ago release a new single, and this is a song from that album, Flow Like a River. May your love flow like a river as we shape our life together, our community, by waiting faithfully for a God who is God. And may that God be your hope and your promise this day and all the days of our lives. Amen.